Well, take your Bible now, please, Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 for just a few minutes. Let's look at one verse and share some thoughts with you from the Word of God as we look at Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 6. This is a statement by God, basically, that He was not going to give His blessings. He was not going to pour out His blessings. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 6. The scripture says, "And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns." And then here's the key part of the verse I want us to see tonight. "I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." I, God, will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. And that is the title of the message tonight, very simply, no rain. No rain. You know, rain is absolutely essential, especially this time of the year, for the growth of gardens and grass and fruit and so on and so forth, seed in the crops that have been planted. And if you do not have the rain, then you will not have the productivity. Now, we've had quite a bit of rain here lately, and that is so unusual for Texas. And our kids were here, and they said, "Does it rain like this all the time in Texas?" I said, "No, not at all. Believe me, take my word for it, this is unusual that we've had all the rain that we've had. I've enjoyed it. I hear it's going to rain again this week, and I am looking forward to that. The temperature stays down to about 88 or 90, 92, and it's going to rain some more. The lake levels are getting back up where they should be, and that's growing a great big old catfish for me to go catch one of these days. And the rain is good, and we need it. It is absolutely essential. But if there is the withdrawal of rain, then we have a desert. A lot of people complain about the rain, but man, thank God for the rain. If you've ever been anywhere where it didn't rain much, I've been on top of Mount Masada over in Israel, and they had 1 inch of rainfall in the whole year. Now, believe it or not, Herod would go up there on Mount Masada, and he had a sauna place there and all of that, and they had aqueducts places made out of clay around the edge of that, and they had some places that held the water. What little water they got, that went into a reservoir, and they had plenty of water for the time when royalty was there, and it was quite intriguing to see that, but 1 inch of rain. But all around that area, Masada, the Dead Sea, was dry and parched, and that's the way it would be without it. A withdrawal is bad, and it is indicative and symbolic of God taking His blessings away from here, Israel, and from a church, and from the individual family or the individual Christian. God withholding the blessings, withholding the rain, some type of temporal judgment that comes. One of the most frustrating things, and especially if you live in an area like Texas, is to see clouds floating by all around everywhere when you really would like to see it rain. Some of us know those times when it's been 90 days and there wasn't any rain. You know, sort of opposite of the ark. But we've seen those times when the clouds would come by and not a drop of rain would come from them. That's sort of frustrating, isn't it? You look at them and say, "There's the clouds, and they're dark, and there's darkness around, but the wind just slowly, gradually passes them on by, and there are no raindrops." And that is what happens sometimes in our spiritual life. And whenever that happens, we recognize, hopefully, that God, for some reason, whatever His reasons may be, God is withholding His blessings and His power, and we would symbolize it, as He says it here in the Scripture, with the rain. That's so frustrating, because that is the means of grace. That's what He's talking about. The means of power. The essential thing that we have to have in order to do what God has called us to do. in order to have a church that has power with God and a revival spirit, we need the rain, and that rain can only come from Almighty God. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to not have that rain? Well, whenever you're allowed to preach or teach, and yet you have no power on that preaching or teaching. That's what it is to have the clouds come over without the rain. God help us that whether we're singing or preaching or teaching the Word of God, that we beg God, that we get on our faces and beg God for the power, for the rain, for the blessing. Tonight before the service, a few of us were in a prayer room back in the back, and we were begging God to put His power on this service and to work in lives and to bless His Word and to come down and meet with us. We're saying, Lord, rain on us. But God will allow us to preach, and God will allow us to minister, and God will allow Sunday school teachers to teach and people to be in their positions to serve, and yet have no power with God, have no rain in what they're doing. And that's a sad thing when that happens. Many times we read the Word. We read it maybe very faithfully. We read it perhaps daily, and that's, we should read the Word of God daily. But then after we read it, we just sort of put it down, walk away from it, and make no application of what we've read. We see it, we hear it, but we don't make any application. Sort of like going to church and making no application. We go through a routine, we go through a tradition. We know what time we do this, what time we do that. Tonight we changed our tradition, and I got up wrong one time, somebody else got up wrong one time. That's typical of a Baptist church. We get so traditional, and we criticize those who are traditional. But what happens many times is the Word of God is read, and we go through our form, we put it down, we hear it preached, and then we go out and do nothing about it. That's like clouds without any rain. That's like clouds that produce nothing. There is no application. We have a form of prayer. We go through our prayer time. Maybe we have a certain time. I have a time I like to pray early in the morning. Don't always get to. Sometimes there are emergencies. Sometimes I'm already in the hospital because someone's near death or whatever it may be. But there's a time I like to pray, and usually early in the morning. And you have your time. Sometimes everything in the world causes you not to get to pray. But you can still pray later in the day, change it a little bit. I don't think it's going to upset God as long as we remember Him in prayer. But a lot of times we just sort of pray, go through the tradition, but we don't plead with God. There are clouds with no rain. We need to be able to get on our knees and beg God. I mean, get down and just pray and say, oh God, and weep and cry and pour our heart out to Almighty God and just call on God and beg Him for rain, beg Him for power, beg Him to do something, beg Him to work in our church, our class, our life, our ministry, and our family. Beg God, plead with God. Where's the pleading? We need to get a hold of the horns of the altar like some used to do in the Old Testament when they were in trouble, and they would beg for mercy like those when David became king, and they ran to the altar, one who had turned against him and held on to the horns of the altar and was pleading and begging for mercy, and David gave him mercy. We need to do that. We need to get before God. That's the only way we're going to get the rain, my friends. That's the only way we're going to get the power of God and the blessings of God in our lives and on our ministry. We've got to do more than just read the Bible. We've got to apply the Bible to our life. We've got to do more than just sort of have a typical form prayer and go through that without depth of feeling and emotion. We've got to pray and beg God, and we need to do it, and then we're going to have the rain. Now, God, who's the one in charge of the clouds here? God is. Who's the one that said, stop the rain? God did. Who's the one that can make it rain again? God can. Amen? We should never give up hope for a great revival in our church and even in our nation, but especially in our church where our greatest responsibility is. Never give up hope for that. God commands the clouds not to rain, and He's the key to it, and we've got to get a hold of God, and we do that. That's what it means to us. Now, what's involved in it? What all is involved? What's involved in what He's talking about? Well, when there's no rain, listen to me now, there are no conversions. Thank God for three that got saved at camp. But every week we ought to see people getting saved at our church. Every week. Every week. If we're a true New Testament church, I believe that every week we'll have people walking the aisles. We do have the children in another place. I miss having the children in the big church service. I miss that because so many times when they're children, it's when they get saved. And so I really miss that. But because of the bus ministry and our structure and all, they are over there. But thank God, very seldom does a Sunday go by but what somebody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be great if tonight somebody got saved. Amen. I'd love to see you say, well, you really expect somebody to get saved in every service? Oh, yes. I expect it. I pray for it. I beg God for it. I search my heart if it's not happening. And if we have the rain of the power of God, the rain, the blessings of God, and that's going to happen. Now, if there are no conversions, that means there's no power of the Spirit of God to break people's hearts, to humble them before God, to admit that they're lost and they need to be saved. The power of God will arrest people where they are, bring them to their knees, bring them to repentance and weeping and crying and brokenness, because the power of God is there. Some of us, some of you that are older than I, have seen some of those meetings where the power of God fell. Some of those old camp meetings and regular church service meetings. And I have only seen just a little bit of that in my lifetime. But I promise you, I thirst and hunger to see it happen right here and to see it happen in any Bible-believing church anywhere, that we might see the power of God raining down on us, and we have to be right with God and pray to that end. We have no conversions if we don't have the power of God. Another thing we don't have is the restoration of backsliders. You know, I believe backsliders can be restored. Amen? You don't lose your salvation when you backslide. What do you lose? You do lose something. What do you lose? You lose the joy of your salvation. And you lose the fellowship with the Father for a period of time. Aren't you glad that we have 1 John 1:9 Bible? Aren't you glad we have verses that tell us if we come before God and confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin? And that's not just to the unsaved. That's primarily, that context is for the saved. And we can come to God. Do we fail God? Oh, yes, we fail God. We all do. Don't look too pious at me. Christians... Now, I know we say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and that's true. But we shouldn't use that as an excuse to just run around and sin. I'm just a sinner, and I just got to keep on sinning. No, we're sinners saved by grace to live right for the glory of God. But we all fail God. There are times we fail God. Some of you failed God in your prayer life this past week, haven't you? Some of you failed God in your Bible reading this past week. Some of us have failed in witnessing. And many have failed with sin in their lives. They thought they had it licked. They thought they had the problem conquered. And all of a sudden, the devil lit in on them, attacked them, and they succumbed to the temptation, whatever it may have been. And their hearts are heavy tonight in this service. Their hearts are broken. They say, I failed God. I didn't want to do it. I didn't intend to do it. I was fighting every way I could not to do it. But somehow, some way, I failed God. We get on our knees before God and ask God to forgive us. I'm glad when the power of God is present in a service and the rain is coming down, that people who are living in sin, brother, they get under the power of conviction from the Word of God. The Word of God is preached, and the Spirit of God gets a hold to their heart and says, that pornography in your life is wrong, that sin in your life is wrong, that attitude in your life is wrong, that old practice you thought you had gotten over with, now you've picked it up again, that's wrong. And the Spirit of God begins to work in our lives. God speaks to us and says, you know good and well that there was a time you were on fire for God in the beginning. The Bible says we can end up like it was in the beginning, that God has a plan for that to happen. We don't all have to get away from God and lose our fervency and our fire for God. We should have that in our lives. And sometimes, let's face it, we get lukewarm. But I believe when the power of God is present, He'll get a hold of our hearts and our mind and heart will be in the message and in the service. We won't be out there thinking about other things or how we're going to make money tomorrow or what if. We'll have the power of God speaking to our hearts, breaking our hearts, bringing us face to face with our failures and our needs in our life, not because God hates us, but because God wants to help us. And so the backslider, when the power of God is in a service, I believe a backslider comes. Now, I like it when somebody says about our church, you have a friendly church. We had a guest here this morning that told Brother Phipps, said, you know, said, I want to tell you, your church is the friendliest church I have been in a long, long time. Now, you know, I like that, and I think we should be friendly, and our people are good at that, and that's a good thing. But let me tell you what I'd rather hear them say even more than that. I'd rather hear them go out and say, man, the power of God was there. I mean, the power of God was there. You could sense it. Not only sense of friendliness, but you could sense when you came on the campus that the power of God is upon this place and upon this ministry. And that's what we need. And when that happens, there'll be the restoration of backsliders. You see, withered plants are never going to be revived unless some rain comes. Now, I'm not the greatest green thumb in the world, but I do know this. If I look out back in our yard and there's a plant sort of limp, I try to water it, amen, and next thing I know, it's picked back up. And all the Carolyn's die, but mine, it picks back up, you know. Actually, it's probably the other way around. But at any rate, without the rain, it's going to wither and wither on away. But aren't you glad that we have the Word of God to preach, the power of God hopefully present in our services so that somebody comes in? And the purpose is not to make them feel bad. The purpose is not to make them feel awful and leave feeling awful. The purpose is to bring them back into joy and fellowship with the Lord when a backslider is restored. And let me tell you, when the power of God is in services, backsliders are going to be restored. It's going to happen. The rain's going to come. Also, there's no refreshing for the weary. All of us get a little weary. We need comfort. And we need strength. We have some missionaries here tonight. I guarantee you there are times when they are in Romania, Mexico, wherever it may be. They're out there and they're away from home and they're in another language and another culture. And some pastor who had been supporting them calls them up and says, fill out a questionnaire with 5,000 questions. And if you don't answer them all just right, we're going to cut your support. And you that are on a deputation, sometimes you get weary. And all that, let me tell you, we need the power of God to help us in our weariness. It's going to come. It's going to be there. And the only way we can do it is to have it from the very power and the reign of Almighty God. It must come from the dew of heaven. It has to come from God. If not, we're not going to get it. And we can't go on. We'll quit. We'll get so weary, we'll just drop out. Don't drop out. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on for the glory of God. And then there are no spiritual activities. What happens is when there's no rain and no power and no great blessing of God on a work and on a life, then lukewarmness just comes right in and lukewarmness reigns. And I tell you, the typical situation in the end time is a Laodicean lukewarm church. And that's the kind of church that God said, I can't stand. I can't stand a Christian that is lukewarm. I'd rather you were cold or hot. I'd rather spew you out of my mouth. I don't like lukewarmness. God does not like lukewarmness. I'd rather have a cold drink of water or a hot cup of tea, but I sure don't like lukewarm water. And God says, and that was coming down from a place above where he was talking about, and by the time it came from the cool part of the mountain down the aqueduct and on down to the bottom, by the time it got there in the heat of that sunshine, in that territory, it wasn't long till it was lukewarm. And God said, like that, you make me sick. Lukewarmness, God says, is a sin, and it reigns. And sometimes, you know, when we first get saved, we're so excited. Man, we pray and we witness and you can't hold us back. We want to serve God. Where can I be used? What can I do for God? I want to do something for God. And we go at it like that, and all of a sudden we begin to taper off. And then we begin to be apologetic. Oh, I know I should be this, and I used to be that, and I used to do this, and I used to do that. And I don't know why I don't do it anymore, but I don't know. I've just come to the place to where I've lost the joy, and I've lost the real thrill of it and the excitement of serving Almighty God. And everything's become routine and mundane. Something's wrong with that, my dear friend. And usually it's the fact that there's no power, no rain from God that is there. And what happens is we make up our mind somewhere along the way. We go out, we're real excited, we're serving God. Man, we're just thrilled about being saved. And we just finally get so routine, and we stay routine until death. A lot of Christians do that. They just get to a place where it's routine, routine, routine until we die. No spirit of revival. How does it manifest itself? I don't really have time to go over all of this, but let me just mention two or three things. A lot of times people get very weary with the gospel. They don't want to hear the preaching of the Word of God, which is a sure sign that there's no rain and no power even in their own lives, as they get very, very weary with the gospel of Jesus Christ and hearing about it and being told that people need the Lord. And they say, we know that, don't tell us that anymore. We need to be reminded over and over and over again that people are dying tonight and going to hell because we're not reaching them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another thing that usually shows up is criticism. A lot of times, whenever that power is not there in our lives, then we begin to criticize and carp and despise the Word of God and what it stands for. And we come to church and we say, well, there's no food for the soul. The truth of the matter is, there's no soul for the food. That's where the problem is. We need the soul for the food. Somebody who really wants, you know, you're going to get out of church what you want to get out of church usually, for the most part. What you've prayed for, what you've trusted God for. And let's finish up with this thought. We'll hasten on this. But here's a thought that we need to think about. How can it be prevented? How can it be prevented? How can it be changed? We've talked about some of that. How can it be prevented? Number one, confess. We've got to confess that we do not deserve the grace of God. I don't deserve God's grace tonight. I recognize and realize that it's the entire grace of God that makes me what I am and has placed me where I am and has saved me and kept me out of a devil's hell. It's the grace of God. And let me tell you, when we think about that and remember that and keep that before us and understand how hell-bound we were and unworthy of the grace of God, and yet God gave it to us, then it's going to do something in our hearts to make us want the power of God back. We need, secondly, to admit our dependence on God and our dependence on the heavenly showers. You see, the dependence cannot be on me. My dependence cannot be on my talent or ability or speaking or whatever. That is not where it is. My dependence must rest entirely on God and His power. Where does the rain come from? It comes from God. It comes from the Lord. I remember as a little fellow when they went up in airplanes and seeded the clouds and tried to make it rain. And that was a great theological debate in our little country church, because some people felt like they were monkeying with God and what was natural and so on and so forth. And you can argue that however you want to, but I can tell you that if we're going to have the rain, we've got to get it from God. Our dependency cannot be on the name capital B A B T I S T Baptist. That's not where it is. Though I'm a Baptist by conviction, it's not just because we're Baptist that is that way. And it isn't our dependency on just the music program or just the youth program, as good and as important as all that is. It is our dependence on God. We need you, God. We need your power, God. We need your rain. We need your blessings. We need your hand on us. And that's what we've got to have in order to see the job done. Then we need to pray incessantly. Like Elias, there wasn't any rain, and Elijah prayed, and then the rain came. He knew how to bring the rain down. And we need to do that. Nothing will substitute for our prayers. Nothing. We've got to get a hold of God and keep a hold of God in our prayer lives. Are you getting a hold of God in your prayer life? Are you really getting a hold of God? Are all of us doing that before God? We've got to look to Jesus. And then I think we've got to value the little cloud. On Carmel, the prophet looked out, said to his servant, "Tell me what you see." And he came reporting. Finally, he said, "I see a little cloud. Looks like a thumb out there." He said, "That's good. I'm glad you saw that, because that is symbolic of the fact that it's going to rain." And it did rain, and God did provide. We need to have hope and believe, as long as we can see a little cloud, that God is wanting to hear from us. God's wanting to bring the cloud in. God's wanting to bring it over our ministry and over our church and over our families and over our life and really over our nation. God's wanting to do that. A little thumb cloud out there. He said, "It's about the size of a thumb." And the prophet said, "That's good. That's what I was looking for, because now God is going to give us showers of blessing." And then when the showers of blessing come, we ought to use it more diligently and more carefully and pray to God that it never leaves. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed for just a moment. The old song, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." The songwriter knew what he was talking about. Maybe he had read this verse and others like it. We need the showers. God is in charge of the clouds. Do we want the showers of blessing? God says, "If you'll do what I say do, then I'll bring the showers. I'll bring the blessings. If you really want it, if you really pray for it, you really desire it, and you really walk with me in obedience, there can be showers of blessing. There can be the spirit of revival, the atmosphere of revival every service, every Sunday in our church, if we really want it. Do you want the showers of blessing? Oh, we want them on our grass, and we want them on our properties, and we want them on our vegetables, and we want them on that. But spiritually, do we really want the showers of blessing? Only God can give them as we stay right with Him, as we pray and trust Him. Father, I pray that You'd be with those that are here tonight that may not know Christ. And we know that until they're saved, they can never know Your blessing. They can never know the joy of the Lord and the power and presence of the Lord until they come to Christ. Lord, there may be someone here tonight that's lost. We beg You that the power of Your Spirit would get a hold to their hearts. Lord, something that I cannot do, You have to, even in Your grace, draw them and speak to them. It's all of grace. Lord, I pray if there's a lost person here tonight, a young man, a young woman, a boy, a girl, someone here without Christ, not sure of their eternity, that Thy Spirit would get a hold of them and show them that Jesus died for them. And if they'll trust Him and completely put all of their hope and faith in the finished work of Christ, they'll ask You to save them on behalf of Jesus' finished work, that You'll do it. You will not turn anybody away, and I pray Thy Spirit would get a hold to their hearts. Lord, help us as Your children, that Your Holy Spirit would touch us. May Your power be present. God, help us. We need You. We need Your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.